Amanda Hill is a lawyer and she's with us today. Dozens of inmates at Wellington's Arohata Women's Prison were transferred to Christchurch and Auckland away from their whānau communities and drug and alcohol treatment programs last year when the prison was closed to ease a staffing shortage. A High Court judgment found that corrections actions actually broke the law and discriminated against women. Amanda Hill represented eight of those wahine at the judicial review, and she's a lawyer that does specialise in this area, representing those who are on the inside, and she's been doing this mahi for 20-odd years, and Amanda kindly joins us to reflect on this situation. Amanda, ko Dale, tēnei, thanks for joining us on Pākehā. Tēnā koe.
Tēnā koe.
Tēnā koe. How did corrections break the law in this regard? I sort of recall the situation, Amanda, because it surfaced at the time through the media, but obviously it's been followed through here. So can you share with us your perceptions on what went wrong here and how corrections broke the law?
Mm-hmm. So it surfaced in September 2022 when the women were told they were going to be transferred, and we tried to get an injunction to stop that happening. And then as part of that action, we then carried on to a substantive judicial review, which is a court reviewing the decisions that were made. And so that carried through in, along the court process, and the court found that the decision makers at corrections didn't take the woman's individual circumstances into account when they should have. So things like whether they've got children or whether they were under forensic mental health care, things like that. And they're what's called mandatory considerations, so they have to be taken into account. And corrections also failed to take its own women's strategy into account. Now, this was a high-level policy that corrections brought in because it acknowledged it wasn't doing very well for women prisoners. So that was a mandatory consideration as well. So that was one ground that the woman was successful on, and the other was the discrimination ground, which found that the woman had been treated differently to men, and that had caused disadvantage for them. And corrections couldn't justify that by saying that they were short-staffed. They didn't put enough evidence before the court to show that that was justified. So that's sort of a general summary of where things are at the moment.
Thanks very much, Amanda. It seems that the damage has already been done, but it must be satisfying that even all this time later, that you've been able to highlight the poor tactics used by corrections here. So that must be satisfying in itself. But what damage has been done to these women who were, as we mentioned, removed from their whānau, without consideration about their mental health state, or indeed their health state, and also away from drug and alcohol treatment programs that they may have been reliant on. So when I say the damage has been done, it's got to be a year or more, too, since they were moved. How's it affected them?
Well, the first thing is that those women who are mothers have been removed from their tamariki. They've not been able to see them in person. So a lot of the women were moved to Christchurch and the whānau could not afford to travel to visit them. So while they might be able to have in-person visits in Christchurch, the reality is that they can't. So some of these women haven't seen their kids in person for 18 months or to 2 years. Some have elderly parents that they've not been able to be able to see in person. Sometimes you can't tell whether someone's unwell over AVL. And their release planning has been disrupted. So some women have not been able to get parole because their programs have been disrupted or their planning for accommodation has been disrupted. And there were 27 women on a waiting list for the drug treatment program. They lost the opportunity to do that program because that was closed down as well. So when we talk about the damage being done, this is to real people, primarily wahine Māori. But there is an opportunity for corrections to fix this. And we are in discussions with corrections about how to undo some of that damage for the women who are still going through our court system to make sure that there is a place for them at Arohata to stay near their kids. should they go into the prison system. So it's not the end of the conversation. It's very much an opportunity and a wake-up call for corrections to try and fix this.
So the High Court has found that corrections broke the law. Normally, there would be some penalty for this. What sort of penalty might we expect?
Well, in this jurisdiction, we're talking about things like declarations, so declarations of unlawful decisions, and ordering corrections to review the decision or make it in a different way by taking into account those things that it didn't in the first place. And so part of that could be a declaration that Aruhata's units for sentenced women should be reopened to reverse the discriminatory effect which is ongoing. So while the decisions were discriminatory, the impact is still there. So they can't possibly, well, I'd like to think corrections wouldn't allow that situation to continue. So the remedy is really about making them make better decisions and hopefully with a different outcome.
If these women hadn't contacted you, this could all have been swept under the carpet, couldn't it? So how important is advocacy for those who are affected by government departments' short-sighted behaviours?
I think advocacy is really important. And I think these, I'm so proud of these women. They are so strong in the face of losing so much. But they also have been very clear that they want to do this for future sentenced women as well, that it's not just about them and their whānau, but women who are going to need to be near their kids in the future. So I'm incredibly proud of what they've done. But it is really hard to lift up those voices. Wahine Māori in the prison system, they're sort of at the bottom of the pile, and corrections really did treat them like that as the last thing to be considered. So without people speaking up, it is really hard to hold decision makers to account.
Thanks, Amanda. Aruhata has the only drug treatment unit available for Wahine. What happened to the women who needed this program?
They weren't able to access it. So that was another part of the High Court's decision, that closing the only drug treatment program in the country was a further discrimination against women, because the men have, I think, around 5 programs around the country. Corrections say that a new program has reopened in Auckland that provides a similar service. We're still looking at the quality of that program. We're not convinced that it's the same quality, but there was a 9 or 10 month period there where there was no drug treatment program for women. And often that's a requirement for parole. So women were going to the parole board not having had treatment because of these decisions.
Just finally, Amanda, look, our people falter but deserve to be housed in facilities that are modern, well-equipped, and doing their job, the best job they can, to help people reintegrate into community. How would you describe Aruhata? Even though it has the only drug treatment facility in the country, it's an aged facility. What are the pros and cons for that particular prison?
To be honest, there is a new build. There's a new part of Aruhata that is quite good. I mean, it's really hard to say good prisons and bad prisons, but certainly parts of Christchurch Women's Prison are much older and in a more difficult state of repair. The facilities at Aruhata were pretty good, to be absolutely honest. There's mothers and babies unit, there's a self-care unit, and the prison is smaller and feels more like a community. Of the 3 prisons, and I've been in all of them, actually Aruhata was one of the better ones, and that's why the woman felt so strongly about being moved as well, in terms of where they wanted to be. It felt a bit like home for some of them, and that's hard for some people to comprehend, that prison could feel like home. But for some of the women doing long sentences, it was. And for some of the wahine who were moved, they've talked about feeling like unwelcome manuhiri in Christchurch in Auckland. It's not their whenua, it's not their place, and they've had real difficulty with that. So, but corrections, when they take people into the system, they have to keep them near their kids. They have to keep them near their whānau. These things aren't negotiable. They're our international obligations. They don't get to just decide they don't apply.
Well, tēnā koe, it's good catching up with you, Amanda. Thanks for shedding some light on this situation on behalf of those wahine who are affected. As you say, being hauled away from your whānau and those drug and alcohol treatment programs that are so vital that threw everyone out of kilter. But I'm pleased that corrections have been, well, hauled across the coals for breaking breaking the law. And good on you, Amanda. Nice talking with you. Thanks for your time.
Ka pai.
Tēnā koe, ngami. Urban Māori Radio.